We're certainly thankful to be with Cool Springs Church this evening and have enjoyed the trip down. I know it's never a good trip to when you're traveling in the rain, but when we need it as bad as we've needed it, it's certainly good to see the Lord's answered prayers and to be a witness of that. I wanted, while I was here, to announce and invite the brothers and sisters of Cool Springs Church to visit with us. And I usually wait till the end to do that, but I'm afraid if I do, I'm going to forget to. And so it's on my mind, and I wanted to make sure that you knew that, Lord willing, our annual meeting in our new church building that the Lord has blessed us with at our church up in Bartow County, Georgia, will be July 6th and 7th. And Brother Philip and several other ministers from this part of the state are planning to be with us, and we'd certainly love to see you if you're able to come, and hope and pray that you'll feel at home with us as you've made us feel at home with you here at Cool Springs Church. Tonight I want to read to you from the book of 2 Kings. If you have your scriptures and would like to follow along with us, I want to read from 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 8. The scripture says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. If the Lord would be with us tonight, I want to speak of the great woman of Shunem, of the great woman of Shunem. The Scripture tells the New Testament minister to be instant in season and out of season, and to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If the Lord would be our helper tonight, it is my hope to, in looking at some of the characteristics of this great woman of Shunem, that we would be encouraged to be as faithful as this sister was, that we would model our lives, not after man, but after the Lord Jesus Christ, but nevertheless look at this sister that is recorded in the Old Testament Word of God, and would see how the charge still stands today upon God's people to be as faithful as she was. The word that is used to describe this sister is great, is great. You know, a lot of times whenever we hear the word great in description of a person today, we wonder if they're great in the eyes of other people. But if you'll notice, this scripture is recorded, and she's called great by our Father in heaven. He's recorded this for you and I here, and it says that she's a great woman of Shunem. Scripture teaches us how about greatness. Scripture teaches us about prosperity. Scripture teaches us about success, and teaches us how that we can have those things. You know, as Brother Gary just prayed in his prayer, our country is drifting to a point where those definitions amongst the world is not something that we would encourage each other to follow. As far as the world's definition of success, the world's definition of prosperity, the world's definition of greatness would never be in line with the Word of God. In the words of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, he speaks unto the children of Israel, and he said, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. I'm thankful to know that this book that we've got open before us tonight teaches us how to be prosperous and teaches us how to be successful in our ways with God. And it does teach us that. One of the ways of Satan today has been able to convince people that there's nothing for the new age in this book. There's nothing for the modern times, that this book is out of date. But I would encourage you, friends, this day to understand that everything that you need to be great in the eyes of God is contained right here. And the Scriptures have said that this is a great woman of Shunem. She's a great woman. She's got success. She's prosperous. You know, one of the blessings of the church that I pastor is to have a lot of people that have recently attended college or are in it. And I know that which they hear that is successful in the eyes of God is not what they hear during the week, is what is successful, what it means to be successful. What it means to be successful according to the world would be that you are, what it means to be great according to the world, it means that you would be someone that was seated in a boardroom with a board of directors. It would mean something far beyond that, which is the simplicity of the Scriptures. It says that she was a great woman of Shunem, and that Elisha was one that came and that would pass by the place where she resided with her husband. The Scripture says that upon seeing Elisha pass by continually, that she called unto her husband and said, "Let us make an addition onto our house, so that when this man passes by, that he would dwell with us there." I tell you, one of the characteristics of a greatness, of a great woman of Shunem, is that she recognized when she was in the presence of spiritual people. That she recognized that she was in the presence of the Lord whenever this man was in their home. She called him hither. She said, "Come hither to eat bread." I'm convinced that whenever I read that description of this sister, I see my grandmother. If you even came within a shouting distance of my grandma's front porch, you were going to come in to eat something with her. You were going to come in and you were going to break bread at her table if you came within shouting distance of the front porch. And I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's got that picture in my mind of that sister that is convinced that her ministry is in serving others and in giving them the blessings that God has given her. And that's what she has done to this prophet Elisha. She calls him and says, "Come here and eat bread with me." She calls him into his house, into her house. You know, one of the great blessings of being a part of the Lord's church is the hospitality that is offered therein from brethren and sisters. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I guess whenever I started in speaking about the great woman of Shunem, you're saying, well, this is just geared towards the sisters. But no, it's not. This standard is set forth in greatness and prosperity and success for all of the Lord's children, for us to walk that way, not just for brothers or for sisters individually, but for the Lord's children in general. And so the hospitality that she offered, what is the definition of and the characteristics of this great woman of Shunem is that she's a woman of hospitality. She's a woman of warmth. She's a woman that has opened up her home to the blessings of God so that she would be in the presence of spiritual people. I'm convinced that as you maybe come into contact with one or another one in this world, there's a lot of people that flee the presence of spiritual people. You know that? They don't like to be around you. They pity the times that they're around people that are godly people. It's almost like they flee at the presence of people that fear God, at the presence of people that want to speak about spiritual things. The Scripture says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. There's nothing chasing them, you know. They just don't want to be in the presence of spiritual people. But here you've got a woman that the Scripture records that God calls great. And she says, "I want to be in the presence of this man because I'm convinced that he is a man of God." She says, not only do I want to be in his presence, I want him to be able to come and to rest in our home. I want to add on an addition to our home. You know, you think as you read through these Scriptures that Brother Will's fixing to have you calling the carpenter on Monday. But that's not what I think that is being taught here throughout these verses that I've just read to you. Here you have a sister who has said that I want to add on a portion to our home so that when this man of God passes by that he would have a table. that he would have a stool, that he would have a bed, and that he would have a lamp in this area. You know, whenever I read those four articles that she's wanting to put in this little addition to her home, I see things that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ still offers in the year 2012. I see some things that, and no, I'm not talking about a literal table, no, I'm not talking about a literal stool, I'm talking about things that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ still does today. What do? We feast on the blessings of God at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2012. We sit at the table of the Lord's bountiful blessings and we partake thereof of the gospel that God has given us in the year 2012. You know, do you know that the gospel is a miracle from God? You know, the followers of John came to Jesus and said, "Art thou he, or should we seek for another?" And the Lord Jesus Christ told him, he said, "You go and you tell John that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, that the deaf hear, that the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." That is as much of a miracle as a leper being cleansed, that a man of God can proclaim the things of God, and that the congregation can receive the benefits thereof and can have hearing grace to be able to partake of the blessings of God. We still have that table here in the New Testament church. You know, I believe we still, even though we may not, as they saw in the days when the Lord Jesus Christ would literally touch the eyes of one and he would go from being blind to being able to see, I still think that the Lord is still blessing the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2012 to give sight. I still believe that he's teaching folks to walk. I still believe that he's cleansing lepers, if you will, and regenerating and removing the sin nature from man. I believe those miracles are still alive and well. You know, there's a lot of people who would say, "Man, I tell you, it would just be amazing if God would perform those sort of miracles like he did then." He's still performing them now. It may not be in the manifestation that they saw them back then, but they're still taking place. Our Lord has not gone silent on performing miracles for his people. But she said, "I want a table to be in there." And this table that Elisha was to eat of, I believe it points to the same as the table of bountiful blessings of the gospel that the Lord has given us. She said, "A stool. I want to put a stool in there for this man of God." The house of the living God is also called a house of prayer. A house where we could bow our knees and pray in the one that hears our cry and the one that is able to give us exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. We serve a God, and we worship a God that still hears our prayers. That still hears our prayers. I remember growing up in this part of the country, the times that the prayer meetings would be hosted for rain. You know, I live up in a part of the country that is rural, but there's still not the agricultural communities like there are in the rural communities like they are down here. And our prayers have been with you in this part of the country that the Lord would send that rain. I remember growing up in the church I grew up in, the pastor I had back then, we would host a prayer service for rain, and he'd bring his umbrella. And he'd always say, whenever he got in there, he says, "Where is everybody's umbrella? Do we not pray unto a God that is going to answer this prayer tonight, that is going to rain down upon us that literal rain that we're praying for?" She said, "I want a stool in this house so that we can..." It symbolizes the house of prayer that we have in the New Testament church today. She said, "I want a table, a stool." She said, "I want a bed. I want a bed for him to rest." You know, the testimony of a saint that has been weighed down with the legalism of this world, to be able to hear that testimony in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ about how they received rest upon hearing the message of God's free and sovereign grace is music to my ears. It's music to my ears. We've been blessed at the church that I pastor to be able to have members come forward, or have individuals come forward who were brought up under the bondage of legalism, of thinking that their home in heaven was going to be granted upon something that they had to do. And that they had spent their whole life waited under that legalism of trying to fulfill that which they felt in and of themselves they couldn't do, and rightly felt that way. But yet whenever they came and they heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had done it all, and that it was all to Him that we owe for paying for our sins on the cross at Calvary, it was almost like you were watching them literally lay the weight off their shoulders and rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say He did it all, and having loved His own, He loved them until the end. Just as the Lord says, the work that Thou hast sent me to do, I have finished the work that Thou hast sent me to do. I have done it all! And there's rest in that message. I'm thankful for that restful message that is still alive and well, I pray, today. You know, we're reading here of an account of a sister more between 2,500 and 3,000 years ago, this sister, this great woman of Shunem, these things that she did. And a lot of people, upon hearing this account, will say, that has no application today. But here we read of things that are still alive and well today. She not only, she said, we have a table in this edition. We have a stool so that we can kneel on. We have a bed so that we can rest, just as we have a place of rest in the house of the living God. She says, I want a candle in there so that they would have some light, so that this man would have some light. As I recently made mention of there from Matthew chapter 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ told John the Baptist that the blind received their light. The house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a house of light. It's a city that is set on a hill. It's a place of light in a dark world. It's a place that in the midst of the darkness that exists outside of it, you can come into it and receive the light and the overflowing presence of the Spirit of the living God. Not only be able to be in the presence of God's Spirit and the light, but also to be able to receive the light and the knowledge of the Scriptures that God has blessed us to be able to understand. You know, there's a lot of people that are under the impression that just because you have been born again, that the Lord has changed you from a sinner to one of His children, that you have the all-exposing light of the Scriptures. That everything that God has revealed in His Word, you now should see. I'm convinced that the more and more that I talk to people who I see fruit of the Spirit just beaming from, and the works that I know that the Lord dwells in their heart, but yet the Lord has not opened their eyes to see the things and the beauty of the Lord's work as I believe He has done mine. And I don't say that to lift myself up and to stomp on anybody else. I'm just telling you that the house of the living God is a house of light. The Lord has enlightened His church to be able to have faith on earth and to be able to have truth on earth here, just as we have it tonight, I pray. She says, I want these things to be on my house. She joined her house to the house of God. And you know, success and prosperity and greatness still stands as the same thing as we meet here tonight. How do we have success and greatness here in this life? Let our life revolve around the things of God, around the house of God. You know, it's no mistake today, as you see, as we see so many young people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become entangled and they have to continuously compete with the activities of the world. We see it up there our way. I know that as my children continue to grow and they love soccer, they love ball. And you know, all the soccer and ball, it used to take place whenever I was growing up. It was on Tuesday or Thursday night. You know when they do it now? Sunday. They do it on Sunday. Saturday afternoon and Sunday. And what does it do? It drags the families from the house of God. It drags them right out there into the world. It's not a coincidence, if you will. That's the work of Satan to try to cause the families of God to depart from the house of God. But the Scripture says that this great woman of Shunem, she joined her house to the house of God. She said, even though this world may look on everything I do as weird, I'm going to do the things in which God views as right and just so that I can have prosperity, success, greatness. You know, we need to, as I quoted to you before I started, the Scripture says that reprove, rebuke, exhort. It's your pastor's job to do the reproving and the rebuking. Now, that's not for a guest pastor to come in here, but I hope that these things that I'm bringing forth to you are encouraging. We need to encourage one another in this. That's what I don't use the word exhort like the Apostle Paul used it to Timothy, but it means that. It means to encourage one another in this walk. I believe a good arm around the shoulder of one that you know is struggling with these challenges that the devil has tempted them will do a lot of good to encourage one to be great as this great woman of Shunem was. Here she had built these things onto her house. She had done these works so that this man of God would dwell there. The Scriptures that I read to you said that having built these things, that it fell on the day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and that he laid there. He used it. He used this place that she had given him. This great woman of Shunem, her characteristics are that she's bound her house to the house of God, that she's She's got a spirit of hospitality about her. She's got a desire to be in the presence of spiritual people. Look here what Elisha offers her in return for this. A lot of people in this world, before they even do something, they want to know what you're going to give them in return. You know, if I do that, what are you going to give me for doing that? And we know that there's a place for that. It's a capitalistic market. Nothing wrong with that. I don't think there is anyway. If you have your opinion otherwise, then Lord bless you. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But in our service to God, it's not about what we're going to receive from it for giving it. It's just the blessings of being able to do it. That's what the way that we should look at our service to God. And he says, what should I do for you and for doing this for me? It says, and he said to Gehazi, and I don't have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. I've got a couple of brothers and sisters back at the home church that will correct me afterwards, and I never have pronounced that, so I'm sure I'll get it right. If I ever speak that in front of them, they'll tell me how to pronounce it better. But it says that he said, call this Shunammite in verse 12. And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said, you go and you call this Shunammite who has done these gracious things for us. And he called her and she stood before him. Now listen to what he says to her. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. You see, he offered her royalty. He says, wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? Do you want us to drape you in velvet for doing these things that thou hast done for me? She says, I dwell among mine own people. She understands the message that godliness with contentment is great gain. She says, I'll choose to stay amongst the common folk. I like to be amongst the common people. I believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a gospel for common people. I believe that's the reason why most of the parables are written to an agricultural group. The agricultural people in this world, they know where the supplier of their blessings are from that field. They know that they can't do it in and of themselves, that it takes the blessings from God. And those are the people that the Lord was speaking to whenever He ministered here on this earth, was to the common man. It's a common man's faith. She said, I dwell among mine own people. Here's a sister who not only her characteristics teach us that she desires to be in the presence of spiritual people, she desires to be in the presence of the common man. You know, whenever I read that I dwell among mine own people, I think about the story of Ruth with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Here she has a Moabite woman, and no, I'm not going to go over there and read it. Maybe you'll go home and read it tonight if you desire to. But here you've got a Moabite woman named Ruth, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, Ruth's husband has passed, and Ruth is trying to send her back to the world. But I tell you, Ruth standing there, that Moabite woman, she says, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She says, I will dwell with the common people. I will dwell with you. You know, there's a blessing in and of itself for us to be able to see and us to be able to be content with dwelling with the common people of this world instead of seeking after royalty. What do you think that the message of the world would be to a sister these days for greatness, for success, and for prosperity? You think it would be to let your life revolve around the activities of the church and of the house of God? You think it would be to desire to be in the presence of spiritual people? You think it would be a desire to dwell among the common man and to be able to have the commonality of the truth which was once delivered unto the saints? I believe not only is it a gospel that was delivered unto the common man, I believe it's a familiar gospel that even people from different walks of life can come together and can be as one around that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So here you have this description of a common woman. She says, I dwell among mine own people. I desire to be with mine own people. You know, the prophet Elisha asks, after she answers that, she says, well, what can be done for this sister? What's something that we can do for her, since she doesn't desire royalty? And his servant says, well, she's without a child. and he sends a child. He blesses this sister with a child. You know, as I read through the Old Testament word of the Lord, you know, the blessings of childbirth, being able to bring forth a child, is viewed much differently today than it was in the Scriptures. You know, the people today view it as a child as a burden and not a blessing. As we are blessed to have three children ourselves, and Lord, if the Lord is willing, we would like to have more. Whenever we tell that to people, they look at us like we're crazy. And I guess we are in some way. If you would come to our house at night, you'd think we were anyway, of wanting any more of the chaos in there. But nevertheless, it's viewed as a burden. How can you possibly serve yourself and have these children, is the way that the world views it. But see, she knew that this was a blessing. He says she's without a child. And he sends a child to this family, to this husband and this wife. And I want to pick up reading in verse 18, if you've been reading with me. So stick with me just for a few more minutes as we go through some more characteristics of this sister. She's a woman who desires the presence of spiritual people. She's adjoined her house to the house of God. She desires to dwell among the common man. The Scripture says that the child was grown, and it fell on a day that he went out to his father's, to the reapers. His father was obviously a farmer that was out picking the crop, whatever crop that was. The Scripture doesn't mention, but it says that when he went out to his father, that he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." Now, there's a lot of things that could be inferred, if you will, about this husband of this woman. And I hope that by looking at some of the Scripture, I can show that this man is probably not the most faithful of men to the Lord. Not only because we read here that the Scripture records that he's old, but if he's young enough to pick a crop, my understanding of it is that he's probably young enough to carry his child to his mother himself. But instead of carrying enough for the child, he asked for the child to be carried to his mother. And so this boy is sick. What the cause of it is, Scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say what his ailment is. It just says that he's cried with pain with his head. And the father hands this boy to another young lad, and he says, "Carry this child to his mother." The Scripture continues to say, "And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." Now, there's a lot of people that would try to explain away the Scriptures and would tell you that this child really didn't die. There's a lot of people that don't believe over in Acts chapter 20 that when Eutychus fell during the Apostle Paul's preaching, that Eutychus died. But I would tell you tonight that I believe that Eutychus died. I believe that this Scripture records that this young boy died, that he was dead. And he died on the knees of his mother. As we look here, there's a lot of ways to react to a tragedy like this. And far be it from me to criticize anybody in the pain that this would bring forth and the loss of a child passing on your knees from somebody that has lost his brother in this world and seen his parents bury his loved ones. It is a nightly prayer at our home for our children to bury us if the Lord does not come back first. And if you think if that is not a good prayer to pray, then you please forgive me for praying it. But I pray that be the case, that my children would bury me, that I would not experience this pain that this sister is probably feeling at this time, to have a child pass on her knees. But immediately upon this child passing, her reaction is one that again would teach us of why Scripture calls her great. As soon as this lad passes on her knees, she lays him to the side and says, "I need to go to the man of God. I need to turn to God." You know, there's a lot of people in this world that would teach you to turn many different places. You know, if we go back and we read the first account in 2 Kings chapter 4 of the sister that was a debtor that owed money to the creditors, And upon hearing that her two sons were going to be taken to pay for the debt, what did she say? She says, I need to turn to God. And the Scripture teaches us that principle that in times of trouble, there's one that we can turn to that will hear our cry. The Scripture says to seeing that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, he says a little bit further down, he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You turn to the Lord. And here this sister, she says in verse 20, it says, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, that he sat on his knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. She says, I need to go where I can receive help for this, our lad. She asked her husband. I told you earlier that I didn't think that this was a very faithful man. His response to her request teaches me that either he is a one of these that worships the stars, that is still, remember, that religion is still alive and well today. It's the Church of Scientology or whatever. They base all their learning upon whatever the stars are doing. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with looking up there and knowing what's going on. It's never interested me that much. But nevertheless, it shouldn't be our religion. But he is in response to her request. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. You know, he answers, it's not even new moon. Why even fool around with this? You know, one of the things that should teach us about this great woman of Shunem is that not only is she a faithful sister to know where to turn, she's willing to do it even without the support of her husband. There's a lot of people in this world today that would bring up excuses as to why they can't serve God. My husband doesn't support me in that endeavor. My wife does not support me. But here you got a great woman of Shunem that the Scripture says is great, who says, I'm going to do what I need to do despite the lack of support that I may have from my lover. One of the greatest gifts in this world will be a house, a mama and a daddy that is bound together in their service to God and that is going to follow the Lord according to the Scriptures and is going to teach their children and bring them up in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord. But I tell you, even though the Lord may offer mercy upon one that doesn't have a supporting spouse, it still says that a sister and a brother is supposed to follow no matter what. Follow the Lord no matter what. And here you've got a sister who is willing to go and to run to the man of God to find help for her lad that has just passed on her knees. I'm not going to read. I know that you probably thought this was going to be expository all the way to the end to find out what was going on, but I'll spare you that this Sunday evening because that was what I wanted to cover and to show you the characteristics of this great woman and the things that she did. The Scripture says that she came to Elisha. I'm even thankful for the response she gave to her husband. She says, it shall be well. You know, it takes a lot for a sister to be able to say that it shall be well. It shall be well. Whether the Lord was going to bring this lad back to life or whether he had gone home to be in glory with Him, it shall be well. And I'm telling you, when the Lord comes back out of those clouds, we'll all be able to say, it shall be well. We'll be with Him forever. It shall be well. The Lord had blessed even the saints in the Old Testament with great light and comfort of knowing about how the Lord is going to make all things all right. No, He doesn't make everything all right and cause everything to be okay and cause everything that takes place in this world. But I tell you, it's all going to be all right one day whenever He comes back and He receives us up in the glory with Him. She found that man of God and he came and he laid his body upon this dear child and he brought that child by God's grace back to life. He brought that child back to life. What a faithful sister that we have to read about here. How applicable that these Old Testament lessons are for us in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ right here in modern day times. This is the gospel for the modern day times. These things are still applicable for us today. We can still exercise this faithfulness in the eyes of the world today that the Lord would look upon our efforts and say that they're great. I don't say that to try to get you to receive the attention from the world and the world call you great. I say that to encourage you that you would work and labor for the things of God and to be faithful unto Him so that He would look upon your efforts and that He would say that He is pleased with that which you have put forward. My hope and prayer is that if you've received any blessing from this tonight, that you would thank the Lord Jesus Christ who gave us the blessings to be able to eat at the table of the gospel of the New Testament church, and that you would give Him all the honor and praise and glory for the things in which you have heard and received. And I thank you for your kind, sweet attention. Again, I appreciate the invitation and hopefully look forward to seeing y'all up our way soon. Lord be with you.